Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I talk to Scotty Hertz, co-host of Open Sources Guelph, as we do a deep dive into local punditry. Last Thursday was the first official campaign debate of the 2019 election at the Italian-Canadian Club. It was the regular social justice debate hosted by the Guelph-Wellington Coalition for Social Justice and their associate agencies. Almost all the candidates were there. And with less than 3 weeks to go before Election Day, it seems like a good place to look at the campaign so far and where it might be going in the last couple of weeks of the campaign. So the local election is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. So we really don't need more of an introduction than that, do we? Let's go right to the punditry with Scotty Hurt. Are we ready to talk about the debate and stuff?
Yes, in 3, 2, 1.
I'm leaving that in, you know. Okay, so we were both at the social justice debate hosted by the Guelph-Wellington Coalition for Social Justice and affiliated groups. So, who won? And who lost?
So, what debate would be my statement? I wouldn't say I have a problem with the format, but I don't think they should really call it a debate because, as we saw, there was no real, there was a few sort of a little bit of a spar, which was mentioned in the MSM in town, where there was an interaction between two candidates. But generally, it's like, I will ask you a question, and then we will all answer the question in order because it's Canada and everything's very orderly and everybody's generally polite. Mm-hmm. There's no fireworks. It used to be. I really sound like a really old guy who's been following politics for a long time, but there used to be a back and forth. Like, so-and-so, you have a minute for a rebuttal, or you over there, here's 30 seconds. Yeah. I want you to respond to that. So there's no real opportunity to do that. So if somebody gets a shot in, there's no possibility of you, unless you sort of, no, not go rogue, but I guess right. We should tell the people that weren't there what the incident or the interaction between Lloyd and... Lloyd Longfeld and Steve Dick.
Yeah. Steve Dick, of course, is kind of well known, and he's talked about it on this podcast a couple of times about wanting electoral reform and said how he was disappointed that Guelph's MP did not stand up in the House and present the petition that 3,000 people signed and didn't speak to electoral reform. And Lloyd said that he, out of turn, I would add, Lloyd said out of turn that he did fine, which, you know, could...
That's debate style, right?
Right. That, you know, but typically that's the kind of, like when we're talking about, you know, the formalities of the debate, you don't talk out of turn, right? There was no chance for rebuttal either. At least there was nothing outlined in the rule. So, you know, maybe that was the only way he could get it into. But I think it also spoke to the fact that, you know, maybe Lloyd felt particularly broadsided by that. Because I think Lloyd knows that there are a lot of people in Guelph who are big electoral reform, let's call them bronies. Well, they're not really bros, but you know, they're fans.
It is a big deal in this town.
It's a big deal, yeah.
As it is in a lot of places, but Guelph in particular has this core of people that advocate very heavily for it.
Yeah, and like very loud people, very passionate people,
and it's been big time green policy since the beginning of the Greens in Canada. So that's, I think, a lot of where it comes from.
Absolutely. And, you know, at the end of the day, Lloyd Longfield is a backbench MP in the governing party. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he could get up every day and go, hey, guys, electoral reform. And, you know, Justin's going to have to, you know, just groove on it, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. There's only so much he can do, especially when it's the leader himself. And it was the leader himself. Like, Justin Trudeau came out and said, like, I have made this decision as Prime Minister and Liberal Party leader that, yeah, you know, that it's the issue is dead.
And it was probably bounced around cabinet and caucus as well, but it may not have been bounced. It may have just been, you know, the decisions come from where they come from at the top. And that's the thing with reading petitions into the record. It's more of a formality than anything.
Right.
It feels good to get a petition together for your topic or cause, whatever it is. Give it to your MP or MPP and get it read into the record, as, you know, as has happened with the student choice initiative and trying to save certain services, including us, at the provincial level, once it gets read in, it's like, okay, it's read into the record, right. And then what? Can you get 500,000 people out in the street for community radio or electoral reform? Maybe.
Well, even at that, like 3,000 was the wall. Like 3,000, like as soon as like Democracy Guelph formed, then they came out with like their push to try and get, they had like a thing that they organized where they showed like, this is what proportional representation could look like as like a something that meets all the caveats from the liberals, from the greens, from the conservatives. Like, this is something that the way it could look like. And when they produced that petition and said like, hey, everybody sign it, they got 3,000 people almost, I don't want to say overnight, but like in like that first like
spurt
push on, yeah, to get this. And you know, 3 years later, it's probably that same 3,000 people. And I appreciate that, you know, there are 3,000 people in Guelph who are very passionate about the issue, but at the same time, that's 3,000 out of 140.
And all of them were at the Italian-Canadian Club. No. But I have noticed that this debate and people that go to it will as well, and you commented on it before it happens, that they finally just open the wall up. For years, it was like, oh, this room should be enough. No, it's never big enough. And then there's this big production about opening the wall, and it's chair chaos, and it eats into the debate time. Now it's just like, just take the whole thing because it's going to fill up. And what was the official number? What was it? It wasn't bad for a Thursday night.
No.
300?
Yeah, at least.
I'm just saying numbers, but no, it's as many you'd see as at a wedding. And thankfully, it wasn't wedding seating like the Green New Deal one, because that doesn't really work for the...
You don't want to hang out with people. You don't know. Anyway.
No chart paper at this one either.
No chart paper. I mean, and that could be part of the thing you were missing with the debate is that, you know, it ran like a well-tight ship. Is that the correct expression? A well-tight ship? A tight ship?
A well-oiled machine.
A well-oiled machine and a tight ship.
And a tight ship.
Yeah, okay.
The hybrid is now what you just coined there.
Cool. But it was very well done. There wasn't that whole like, we have to get rid of the divider between the middle of the room. All the chairs were set up. There were chairs to spare.
And everyone goes, groan, this happened in the year 2000 as well. No,
and
or whatever.
Like the room didn't heat up, and you know, you weren't delayed in waiting while everyone tried to find their seat and everyone trying to understand the rules.
So kudos to the setup gang, because it went really well.
It went really well, and maybe that goes to the point, like too well, is that this is like usually the... like the grunge debate, let's say. It's it's not like the show over at the Village on the Arboretum or the one
tonight at 7. Yeah.
Or the one that the chamber's going to put on in the council chambers on October the 9th, where it's going to look ridiculous with 5 people around a council table built for 15.
And then the one in the center, you could have taken a picture of a debate here 40 years ago. It's going to look the same. Although there's new tile on the floor, but generally, structurally, that one is the same, the same riser and everything.
At ICC, yeah.
But of course, the debate finished short, and probably because one of the candidates didn't make it. For reasons. Do we know the reasons, Adam, or do we?
Well, I know what we were told, that the conservatives were invited. The conservatives were invited, and then
candidate Sitjohn managed to make the bike ride, right? Was that Ride for Wednesdays? Do you know anything about that?
That was the Guelph Coalition for Active Transportation. It was like the ride and meet. It was meant to show like what the challenges are in creating like a cycling utopia downtown, basically.
But that would probably be more one-on-one stuff as opposed to having to face the 300.
Yeah, it's weird because he was also at the... Ashish Sashan, I mean, he was at the Ontario Home Builders Association. Don't call it a debate. But I mean, it was, yeah. I mean, first of all, that's the conservative crowd.
Yeah.
It was not billed as a debate. It was really not billed at all. I found out about it like after the fact, looking at Twitter on my way home from Toronto at another debate on the train. So it was probably like a friendlier crowd, and he's definitely going to be at the chamber debate. What I think the question marks are Is he going to be at the U of G one here tonight? Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, but in a couple of days, because I'm recording it a couple of days early, but or is he going to be here on Wednesday? And is he going to be at the climate change one at Centennial on Thursday? Which are also like kind of designed because those are like, I don't know about the U of G one, but the Chamber one and the Centennial CVI one are major party candidates only.
Yes, but they're also the type of debate where can't really control the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Likely going to be protesters.
Mm-hmm.
And of some description, whether it's single person outburst or whatever. And generally the doable debates like the Chamber are nothing against the Chamber, but it's softball stuff, right? There's no...
Well, nobody's against the Chamber.
No, but the questions at that debate are never, you know, we've got a question from the audience that isn't vetted. You know what I mean? It's a little more, I want to say contained, but, you know, doesn't it? Not that the social justice debate is a free-for-all.
No.
But, I mean, you could tell when it's sort of, when they don't have an advance notice of the questions, Aisha John Deere on justice.
Right.
She was honest about it and said, I don't really know about this, so I'm going to pass. Which was probably a really good move. I can't remember. It was the Merck or the Today was talked about it a bit, made it sound like it was a failure. But in actual fact, why would you just sort of start talking like our favorite independent Case Cleveling did about global warming,
right,
and populating James Bay and, of course, the Indians up there. His words, not mine.
Yeah.
And hanging out with him. There's a bit of freewheeling going on there. You
know? I was
going
to say
it's not really policy. He is independent, but it's interesting to see him back.
I was talking to people. It's like, yeah, Case used the wrong I word when talking about indigenous people.
Mm-hmm. And considering the crowd, too, there was audible groans, at least when I was sitting. It was like, oh, God.
You know, speaking of the crowd, dude, though, there were a lot of People's Party people, or at least people who were like applauding Mark Perolovas. Which
it's easy to stack a meeting like that, right? It's not.
I suppose.
Yeah, get your friends and your people, your campaign team of four, whoever's making the rounds.
Right, but it was an interesting.
And mom comes. No, well, seriously, I mean, that's who comes. Like, I definitely saw some other candidate family members at the back because that's how it works.
Look, to be honest, if I was in a debate, my mom would be there. But, yeah, I'd
sit with her. Just appreciate security. Leave Donaldson's mom alone.
But no,
you're gonna mess with me. Have you seen me at these things? I scowl generally. Okay, yeah, but anyway, sorry.
Well, you do. You do. You are the specter at the banquet.
Ooh. When I get my album finished, that's definitely gonna be the title.
It's
a specter is haunting the debate.
It was interesting to watch Mark Perolovas because I mean there were a couple of things where he could have been. He could have lit up on in regards to like immigration, and he walked very much up to the line of I think what we might consider like gaslighting or trolling. He was of the People's Party brand, but he didn't go like 100%.
He didn't
People's
go
Party.
Full People's,
right? And I think that was an interesting line to walk. And I'll be interested to see what happens because he is part of the he has been invited to the Chamber debate. So what,
as if he was a mainstream candidate,
yeah,
which I find interesting because he isn't.
He's one of the five candidates invited to that debate. And so what is that going to look like when he's with the Liberal, the NDP, the Green, and the Conservative? And sort of, you know, because he can sort of sidle in because you had Juanita there and you had Gord Truscott there and you had Brother Case there. But what does it look like when he's the outsider sitting in the line with all the other insider candidates, you know, what does he do then?
Yeah, because peoples in Guelph need to know that these debates, it's if it's invitation, it's like you either get to go or you don't. And famously, and I talked about this before, when John Trammell ran the by-election, he came in and had a hissy fit, as is his thing. This is what he does.
Yeah.
If there's a debate and it only includes four or five of the parties, could be 10 on the ballot, whoever they are. He does this standoff thing. We haven't seen that from the People's Party candidate yet, but he is coming in. But I did want to mention...
We might see him on Thursday because I don't think he's been invited to the climate change one on Thursday.
Yeah, or it's Wednesday. Is the debate Wednesday? And
there's one downstairs here on Wednesday, and then there's one down at Centennial on Thursday.
Oh, okay. And but it's not going to... He's going to be on our other show.
Yes, he'll be on our show on Thursday.
That's going to happen. Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, well, we could ask him, I suppose.
Yeah, but I mean, I was going to mention that his comments that you said sort of walked the line or whatever, his immigration comment wasn't completely incorrect. It's sort of. He was saying how it made it sound like Canada takes in the most immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
We settle the most immigrants in the world, but or refugees.
Right.
We settle the most refugees in the world. Who's number one for refugees in the world? I had to look it up, but I had a really good idea of who I thought it was.
Is it Sweden?
No, it's Turkey.
Is it Turkey?
It's like 4 million refugees from a Syrian conflict, you name it, Turkey.
Well, I mean, that's the first stop, right?
This is people in tents, refugees, who are refugees as opposed to settled refugees, which is what People's Candidate was saying at the debate.
Right.
So it's sort of, it's a little bit of a bend. I suppose I could ask him about it on Thursday, but I might leave that up to you.
Well, I mean,
wink.
Yeah, I hear you. It's interesting because
we're giving him too much airtime anyway. We should probably talk about.
No, I just mean like it feels like we got to. He operates on that level of, you know, it's half a fact, right? Or it's like it's not untrue. It's not a lie, but he. There's the whole context isn't there.
But the problem with this format is that no one who has the facts can say, actually, by the way, guy or girl or whoever your candidate is,
right.
That's not true. Juanita Burnett had a bit of a shot at him about that at the end of her,
mm-hmm.
but it was the final comments. The debate in quotes again is effectively over. So if somebody takes a shot at you, you can't like, I won't answer that because you have your 2 minutes or minute and a half to summarize what your stuff is. So.
And it's hard because this has been a thing I've noticed with all our communist candidates is that the tone of like the campaign literature is very confrontational. It's very in your face, mm-hmm. but one-to-one, and maybe this has to do with like the lingering, you know, Cold War, things about communism and all that, if you're the communist candidate, you can't be confrontational, or you can't be seen as confrontational.
But I mean, it's like any party. You say that with the communists, and when I made the joke about the Politburo or whatever, but the policies for most of them, the exception of Clevering, I think literally with the exception of any independent, comes from the top, including Gord Truscott. And I'm not sure whether Gord Truscott knew. There didn't seem to be any Christian heritage policies in what he was saying. And in fact, and I had mentioned this after the debate when we were talking, that he... What did he agree with? Like, PharmaCare is a great idea.
Yeah.
I've sponsored refugees. Two very, very progressive things to say, but if you sort of drill down into the CHP policy, it's not progressive at all. It's really regressive in most cases.
That is something interesting I noted when I was looking at the policy, that it's... But talking to Gord, what it sounds like is, like, you're as a candidate, you're kind of like... onto your own devices, as long as it's like,
You're a Christian.
It's Christian
heritage.
It's like you're fronting the
like
cause.
You couldn't be a Muslim candidate for the Christian Heritage Party, right?
Well, Gord told me that people of all faiths love the Christian Heritage Party. I mean, I'll let.
I liked his delivery. I have to say, I liked his delivery. I'm looking forward to him coming in later in the week, just because I don't know why.
Yeah,
not policy wise, but it was just like, wow, I.
No, he's very kind of like folksy, and I actually talked to him on the weekend, and he was very pleased with his debate performance. That he got some laughs.
That's
and
good. That's something.
That. So I mean,
for the fringe, you know,
it left a mark, and you know, maybe that helps too, because when you go and you know read the cold clinical policy on the CHP website, it's one thing. But, you know, when you're talking to Gord 101 and you're watching him in debate, it's like, oh, he seems like a nice man. So that's, you know.
Now, I was trying to remember, and I should know this. Steve Dick of the Greens, when did he run last? It's a few years.
2011.
He
won for the province in 2011.
Because we do this all the time, it feels like a long, long time ago. Is that the one, was that the one where the Greens and the NDP were tied for second place with 20%? Or am I mixing up my elections? I shouldn't do that without doing the facts, but...
Off the top of my head...
There was one where the NDP and the Greens were like neck and neck. Conservatives in the Greens and NDP in fourth. Was that the that was the by-election, wasn't it? No, that was Mike Nagy, though. So
that was I think.
So I'm blurring all the numbers, but
you're getting. I think you're getting a number of.
I'm so sorry. I had a very long weekend. Not a fun one either. But I was like, you remember that thing with
Nagy? I think was third place in the 08 election, which was that was the election of that was a federal election, but it was like the by-election that led into the full-blown federal election. So it was a 12-week campaign here.
And this is what I was trying to get at. That's the magic number that made the Greens start to focus on Guelph as a place where there could be some action because they had double percentage points.
Right.
Highest they'd seen.
Yeah.
And that was the never-ending election, right?
In Guelph it was. Yeah.
In Guelph it was like...
I believe you're right about Ben Pauley coming in third in 07.
Yes.
Because I remember there wasn't a particularly strong NDP candidate that election. But it was also Ben Pauley's second election, which is like the other trend of Greens is like, you have to at least two.
It's like municipal, run once and lose. And then the next time, maybe.
Right.
Get your bell signs out again. You might win. we're going across all levels here. But
thank God he doesn't know how to download podcasts.
He will never hear this. It does not matter.
He might know and he might listen, which is maybe why.
Somebody sent it to me on a cassette. No.
Hey, maybe. That could be a thing.
Cassettes are bags, so it's entirely possible.
But yeah, it's... what were we talking about? Ben Pauley,
elections with no correct stats, but that's my fault.
Ago.
Yeah. You remember in 2000 when...
Because that was Ben Pauley's second election, so it was Liz Sandals, who I think it was Brett Barr who was running for the Conservatives.
And I knew you'd know. See, I didn't need to make any notes because you're like, I believe it was midi-midi. Thank you, Guelph Election Wikipedia.
I lead a small, sad life. It was Mike Nagy, who that was his second election in 08.
Yes.
And then I think from there the Greens got the ideas, and it has been a thing ever since. I can't remember who ran for John Lawson. John Lawson ran in 2011, which I think he was like a last minute substitute.
Yeah. And Gord Miller was the parachute.
Gord Miller was, he's running up north this time in one of the Muskoka ridings, so it's fair. And then, we have Steve Dick this time, who I think has been, sort of laying the groundwork for this run for a while. And what I will note, though, is that the last time I looked at the poll of polls, 338 Canada, it was Liberals, Greens, Conservatives. And it's kind of like the Liberals were in front, and then you had Greens and Conservatives in kind of like a race for second or third place. There will be a bump from the Mike factor, the Schreiner factor, will it be enough to put Steve Dick over that? Because the thing I always remember is Liz Sandals beat the nearest competition in her last election by like 14,000 votes.
It was a drub, yeah.
And who would have guessed that, plain, boring school marm Liz Sandals had like 14,000 votes in her pocket? That was people who just like sort of...
But that's... That's the kind of town this is, the tried and true.
Yeah.
She's a known graduate of the University of Guelph like 50 plus years ago. And that's how you win this town. And this is why it's unfortunate that candidate St. John couldn't make it for whatever reason. Because in this town, and this is my political advice to anybody running, other than getting in the snap Guelph as much as possible.
It's the snap theory.
It's the snap theory, which there's truth to it because you have to go to all the things and that includes all the debates. I'm going to say his name. Marty Burke did the same thing. That was his technique in the robocall election that we remember quite well.
Saw the movie on Sunday.
Oh, how was that, by the way?
It was good.
Recommended?
Yeah.
When's it in wide release?
I don't know. He's, from what I understand, Peter Smirzinski is going to do some festival stuff and try to get it.
Tell the people what it's called again and why we have this film.
Oh, God. It's a big title.
Hot Seat.
It's Election Day in Canada. It's election... Something Election Day... Voter suppression in Canada.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
What a mouthful of a title.
Narrated by Jennifer Dale.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pulling out the...
Yeah, it's pretty good.
The Stratford guns for that one.
Yeah. I think Cynthia does Stratford.
They both... I believe they both...
Has Jennifer done Stratford? Because I've only ever seen Cynthia in Stratford. Maybe they sub, like,
the sisters.
When she's doing Street Legal and Jennifer goes into Stratford.
Yeah, because, Street Legal was unceremoniously canceled very quickly.
Oh.
The new one.
Yeah, I know.
But the old one's available on something.
I think you can watch them on CBC.
All those pleated pants.
We're getting off topic.
Pleated pants and mullets, you can get your film.
It's the Canadian LA law.
There's more maple syrup in it.
Yeah, to get back to, like, the Burke formulation now. Marty Burke had the resume, though. He was like, Canadian Forces, Air Canada pilot, family guy, live in the suburbs. Here's my nice family. Vote for me. I'm mayonnaise. I'm white. I'm cool. I hate Mike Frank Valeriot.
I still write letters about him years later. I still write letters.
That's the only reason he doesn't write letters anymore. Okay. Mercury is gone. I haven't seen a Marty Burke letter in a while. But the Mercury's gone, first of all, which was his platform.
So is the quill pen. That's probably why.
But Frank Valeriot retired in 2015.
Let's fight the ghosts of elections past.
But the thing with Ashish Sashan is, like, he's a new Canadian. He's an immigrant. He's
also stellar resume by the sounds.
Scientist, yeah, but he, like, it's not like a quote unquote conservative resume because he's like a scientist. He's, you know, he's in, works for a green tech company, which, you know,
ticks a lot of the boxes.
Ticks a lot of the boxes.
But yet, if you don't go, I mean, it seems insignificant. Like, to some, the social justice debate. Put it this way: long running tradition in Guelph, and people from, like, all walks,
right,
or at least all parts of town, let's say, go to it.
Right.
So it's a big one to skip.
And it's
and so is open sources.
Well, I said
in this, my opinion.
I said this to somebody the other day, and I plan on writing about this at some point, but it took 5 emails, 2 telephone calls, and 3 days to get 7 candidates lined up. And it took weeks to get a hell no from the Conservatives.
So excellent work, well done on the others.
I can't
the invitation
take,
still stands, by the way.
I can't take all the credit because most candidates want to talk about their policies. But, I mean, I don't think it's his fault. I think he's getting, like, super bad campaign advice. And
everybody generally comes by our show.
Right.
They know, they listen. Political people in town listen and outside of town as well. Not to toot our own horn too much, but this is the game in town. We give everybody a half an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you only get one shot at, not at a do-over, but if you happen to forget, we'll forgive it once. But time is flying. I mean, it's October. Well, it's October tomorrow, right? That's where the September wave is gone. This is the crunch time.
Yeah, less than 3 weeks left after today. I don't know.
TikTok.
I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, it'll be interesting to see because you had... In 2018, and it's a lot of the same campaign people in the Conservative. I mean, that can be said of all the parties for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2018, you had Ray Ferraro coming behind Aggie and Mike. Like, Mike won in a landslide.
Yes.
As close as a landslide as you can.
Thanks
to
all of his appearances on open sources.
Absolutely.
Yep.
He got the bump. But then Aggie came in right behind him. Like, not right behind him, but, I mean, just enough ahead of Ray Ferraro that she's, like, a firm... second place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if the polls keep going the way they are, and if it finishes liberal green conservative again, somebody has to look at, is it the way the campaign staff is running? And I realize they're all volunteers, and I realize it's people like party people and all that, but you got to come to the events. You have to come to the events. You have
in
to
this
go
town,
to the places you may not want to go. And I mean, there is a conservative group here on campus of young conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not
even
like,
if they hosted a meet and greet and have some cupcakes or whatever, you know, like
it's not like there isn't an audience here, is what I'm saying.
Right. But this, I mean, it's quite possible that this is just a guess that it's coming from the mothership. That it's like top down stuff. The pyramid is like, you will not go to that. You're not going to go to this. Try not to say the words climate change too much. Every party does it to a degree. And like you said, some have more leeway. The independents have complete leeway. But it's command and control, right?
Well, all I'll say maybe to wrap up is I was on my way down here and I looked out the window of the bus and there was a grassy hill and sitting alone on it was an Ashish Sashan sign. And I thought, could be a metaphor for this election.
Did you get a picture?
I wish I had. It is near
It's
my
probably
house.
Still there unless some homecoming. I noticed more signs have popped up. I think they were wise waiting until homecoming was finished because it is definitely the eve of destruction in this town.
I'll wrap up with this anecdote because I remember working at the hotel for years, and I think it was during the 2015 election, and I show up to work overnight on a Saturday night. And there were signs on that corner because it was a major intersection. And there were signs for all the candidates on the corner standing up when I arrived at, you know, 10:45 p.m. And by the time I left at 7 a.m., there was no sign
debris.
Left standing. All right. Well, we'll leave
it's
that
It's a
there.
Sign for sure. Cool. Yeah, that was
cool. Thanks, Scotty.
Hey, thank you.
And once again, that was Scotty Hertz. We're back on CFRU this Thursday at 5 p.m. for another edition of Open Sources Guelph. This week's guests will be Christian Heritage Party candidate Gordon Truscott and People's Party of Canada candidate Mark Peralvas. And you can catch up with interviews we've already done elsewhere on the Guelph Politicast channel. And of course, that's it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The Guelph Politicast is recorded at CFRU at the University Center at the University of Guelph campus. And to learn more about CFRU, you can go to cfru.ca. You can download the Guelph Politicast on Wednesday from iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. And you can download it from our host, Podbean, at guelphpoliticast.podbean.com. Also, when you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast channel, you will get that episode of Open Sources Guelph on Mondays and an episode of End Credits on Fridays. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson or at Guelph Politico. There is also the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you'd like to help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph, then please consider donating to Guelph Politico, and you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. For all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where there will be a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.